Joining us right now on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo Game Day. Be delicious. Ross Tucker, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty awesome. I just got home a little bit ago from Buffalo, and it's nice to be back and talking with you guys.
Are you in shape? Because I feel like there's not enough offensive linemen to go around. I may be speaking for Patriots fans, but I may be speaking for fans in other cities. Why do offensive lines look so poor to start the season?
It's so funny that you say that, because I'm literally walking up and down my driveway while I talk to you guys.
There you go.
And, I'm trying to get in shape, but a different shape than you're talking about. That's for sure. This is a much longer conversation, but I would tell you a few things. Number one is they just don't get as much practice time at any level as we used to. And in college, the college game is just built so much on being up tempo and getting as many plays in it as you can, that I guess on some level you would think that the more snaps would be more reps, so more practice. But you know, the ball is out so quick. I mean, there's plays in college where nobody blocks anybody and they still get yards, you know? So it just doesn't seem like there's as much straight drop back passing. It's just a different game. And then I think it's one of the reasons why in the NFL you see offenses struggling sort of in general and people putting that on the offensive line. So let's talk about that, right? That's important.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, offensive football requires a lot of time. I mean, cohesion, chemistry, continuity. If one guy screws up on a play on offense, the play's dead, right? Like that guy makes the tackle or there's a penalty or whatever. One guy can screw up on defense, and a lot of times some other guy kills the quarterback or whatever, right? But offense, all 11 guys need to not only do their job, but they need to be on the same page with the other guys doing their jobs. That's a big part of it. And with every passing year, as you guys know, the guys get less and less practice reps and less preseason time, if any, because the premium is placed on making sure that they're healthy for the opener, and that's fine. The other thing is, and this only started 3 or 4 years ago, I think, but when you talk to defensive coordinators and even head coaches, the book is out in the NFL. All of the analytics guys, all of the data tells you the two things that most determine the outcome of games are turnovers, which we all knew like forever, right?
Yep.
And explosive plays. So now, it used to be like, I'm telling you guys, every Wednesday during my career, the D coordinator would say, we're going to stop the run, we're going to make them one-dimensional, and then we're going to rush the passer. You know, like that was the speech, right? Yeah. Well, they kind of figured out now that stopping the run isn't the most important thing. It's one reason why you see a bunch of guys having big games on the ground. That's not the priority. The priority for defensive coaches is to not give up explosive plays, to play a lot of two deep safety looks, mm-hmm. three deep safeties, quarters, whatever. So what does that mean, right? That means that you're not going to be able to throw the ball down the field as much. And I think that has led to quarterbacks kind of holding the ball a little bit more too, right? They're kind of waiting to see if something can open up down the field, get a bigger chunk play. It doesn't. So then they get kind of swallowed up. So I think all those things are all factors. They also, by the way, have done a much better job of trying to make sure in every passing situation that either they've got 4 or 5 legit rushers out there, or that they've done a nice job figuring out how to attack, you know, the offensive line's protection. Like I'm doing Browns Raiders on Sunday for CBS, and I was watching the Browns Giants tape. The Giants sacked Deshaun Watson 8 times.
Yeah,
the Browns looked like they had never picked up a stunt, twist, or blitz in their life. I mean, it was painful to watch.
We're talking with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross, while we're on the subject of the offensive line, a lot of Patriots fans think that that's the reason why they shouldn't put Drake May in, because the offensive line can't protect him. They should stick with Jacoby Brissett until the O-line can sort of figure itself out. Do you agree with that, especially after seeing Jaden Daniels and what he did last night behind a about equally bad offensive line?
It's such a great question. I don't know that there's necessarily a right answer to it. I do think there's a lot of funny aspects of it, right? Like, can you imagine, like, think about what they're saying when they say they shouldn't play Drake May because the offensive line's not good enough. I mean, it's a huge indictment of anybody involved in personnel with the New England Patriots over the last 3 years. I mean, think about that. Like, the O-line's so bad that we can't put in the guy we just took with the third overall pick in the draft. It's an indictment of the O-line coach. It's certainly an indictment of those players. That probably makes them feel awesome. Hey, they don't even play this guy because we suck so much.
Yeah.
And then how does Jacoby Brissett feel about that? Oh, okay, cool. So I'm just like the sacrificial lamb. I'm the guy that goes out there to get the crap beat out of me. And the answer to all those things is kind of yeah. I mean, that is kind of where we're at with them right now. I mean, I saw what happened with Jacoby the other night. That was ugly. And at least with him, the thought process is he's such a vet, been around so much, that he can get rid of the ball, knows when to throw it away, those type of things. You know, I saw Alex Smith talk about this passionately on Sunday. I do think you can ruin young quarterbacks. And I understand the mindset where it's like, well, if getting hit a lot or throwing picks would ruin them early anyway, then they weren't the guy. And I get that, but if you think about it, there aren't that many guys that really, really took serious lumps as rookies that kind of come back. I mean, Troy Aikman is one, mm-hmm. Peyton Manning's another. But I do think on some level, it ruins a bunch of guys. You know, I think Bryce Young, that was partially the case with him. And so
David
I think
Carr.
I think there's a happy medium there for sure. You definitely want to get Drake May some time this year. I just don't know. I don't know what week that is or when they'll know when it's time. Because my whole argument to that is like, okay, do they think like 3 weeks from now, Vidarian Lowe is going to be an All-Pro? What's going to change? I guess the hope is that they'll settle on a five and that those guys will be working in concert well enough with each other that then they'll be able to put May in. I don't know. I mean, they're already suffering injuries or having guys walk out in the team that they already have. I don't know when it's going to magically get better is the thing I would say.
It won't. That's why I think they should just play him in a week from now against the Dolphins at Gillette Stadium and move forward with it, because as the head coach says, to get better at playing football, you have to play football. Question for you, Ross, though, is 3 weeks into the season too early to talk about hot seats with NFL coaches? Because it seems like there might be some places, I don't know, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, two places we saw last night that are 0-3, where coaches are probably maybe Dallas under fire, and you also have that extra layer this offseason of Bill Belichick watching from afar and analyzing every move for every team.
Yeah, so number one, no, I don't think it is anymore for the NFL week three. I don't think that is too early. I mean, especially, you know, it didn't used to ever be this way, where you felt like if you made a move, maybe you could salvage the season. I don't know if they necessarily feel that way or not, but you know, if there are guys that came in to the season in sort of a bad spot and then have really bad starts, I think that those organizations will strongly consider it. I mean, I did that game last night for Westwood One, and that was an embarrassment. I mean, the Jags are 0-2. I thought they would come in, you know, trying to make a statement, Monday Night Football, to show that you know, they could do something this year and that they believed in their coach. That was a total no-show by the Jags last night. And if you're a fan of their team, they've now lost 8 games in a row. You have to be so, so frustrated. I love Doug Peterson personally. I do think he's a good football coach. I don't really know what's going on there. Some of it has to do with, at times, who do you have that would be the interim or the next guy? But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's too early. I think, you know, you get to a point where once the fan base is fed up or once you feel like this is not something that this guy is going to be able to come back from, what are you waiting for? I've been on a number of teams where the coach got fired at the end of the year, and when you know it's coming, which was like my second year with Dave Campo and my third year with Greg Williams, it's really uncomfortable. You know, it's really kind of awkward for everybody involved when you kind of know that the guy's a dead man walking.
All right, we'll leave it right there. It's Ross Tucker joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll talk to you next week, Ross. Thanks.
Sounds great. See you guys.
All right. Thanks. Ross Tucker joining us here. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.